You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program this evening, our live broadcast for May the 22nd, year of our Lord 2021. Makes you glad you've lived this long. Our 17th year on the air, it will be come October. We kicked this year off, though, with a bang. Our very first show in January featured none other than Lauren Witzke, the former Republican nominee for the United States Senate out of the state of Delaware. We had a great show with Lauren that particular night, talking with her about her background, which led her to running an incredible race. She won the Republican primary, went up against an entrenched incumbent Democrat, and I liked her then. I have continued to follow her on social media and have watched the things she has done since then.
And hopefully we haven't seen the last of Lauren in the political arena.
You, she's a lady we can win with, and she's back with us right now. We're going to talk about the future of the GOP. We're actually going to continue to talk about, in continuation from our second hour conversation, encouraging post-Trump trends within the Republican base. We'll talk about that this segment, and then in the next segment, we'll get into that Arizona audit. We haven't covered that yet in depth. We'll cover it with Lauren. She's with us again now, her encore appearance here on TPC. By popular demand, I might add, Lauren, welcome back.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So let's just get right down to it, because I know we only have you for two segments tonight. You're looking at the Republican Party landscape 6 months after whatever happened in January, whatever happened with that inauguration. What do you see, Lauren?
Well, right now I see a broken party. I see two different directions that we have a decision which we can choose to go. So I was there on January 6th, but no, I didn't go inside. However, you know, Biden has weaponized his DOJ to politically persecute anybody that had the audacity to support President Trump. The whole thing was a setup. You know, they planned this from the start. And, you know, this is what we're up against. And we have Republicans in office who are too afraid to even speak out for the people who are still sitting and rotting in solitary confinement just for trespassing charges. They can't charge them for anything else but trespassing. A lot of them were let in by Capitol Police officers. And these people are still rotting in solitary confinement, nobody to speak out for them. And we have a Republican Party who is so cowardly that they're too afraid to even touch the subject of the January 6th rally. You know, they call it an insurrection. You mean a selfie insurrection? Bunch of grannies walking around taking selfies in the Capitol? This more, you know, just devastating to America than even 9/11. And we even had 35 Republicans who voted to weaponize, literally give subpoena power to Biden's DOJ to track and hunt these people down. You know, so we have a broken, we have a split party. You know, I've been saying this, America First is the future. 2022 is going to be a bloodbath for the establishment GOP because we are sick and tired of not having our voices heard, and we're more sick and tired of having Republicans in office that we send to D.C., that we are gracious enough to donate our money to come out and vote for, and then we send them to D.C., and they completely vote against our interests and do not represent us. You know, that's their one job. Represent your constituents, and they are failing. And I cannot wait to replace every single one of them. How about you guys?
Well, Lauren, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you this. What are the mechanics? How do we get this done? How do we hijack the Republican Party, to put it bluntly, and get people like you elected to Congress?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Lauren, and you can respond to this. I mean, we already have the trimmers there with Paul Gozer. I know you were there at that incredible conference that Nick Fuentes hosted. Nick and I were both speakers at a conference a couple of years ago in Chattanooga. So you would have never seen that. I don't think you would have seen that a couple of years ago. Lauren Boebert, even to a lesser extent, Marjorie Taylor Greene. If you, Lauren, had run in a southern state, we would be referring to you right now as United States Senator Lauren Witzke. So that's the thing. What does it take? I mean, even Tulsi Gabbard came out this week, a Democrat, talking about anti-white racism. I think if the GOP will embrace its base, they'll run the table and they'll clean house.
Yeah, and again, how do we get it done?
Right. Well, you know, my campaign last year, great example that shows that the ordinary person, the most ordinary person, is overqualified to run for office. And let me tell you, these people are just ordinary people. You do not have to be a lawyer, a billionaire business owner in order to run for office. The government was made for ordinary people like you and me to run and take back our government. So go out there. The whole thing is primary these rhinos. We have to remove them. We have to replace them. People need to be reminded that we cannot worship just the elephant. Oh, they're still Republican. You know what? If you start failing us, we punish you and we replace you. You know, even if that means showing up and voting for the other guy. But these people deserve to be punished because they have let us down. And we need to primary every single one of them. But we need to be loud voices too. You know, the biggest problem is people will start fighting for something, and then the whole cancel culture mob, they'll come after them, bring the whole thing down on them, and then they start to apologize, backpedal, and people just hate weakness. People admire strength above all else. People may not have agreed with everything I said. However, they respected the fight I had in me. They respected the fact that I did not back down, that I did not apologize. And I think that's important, and that's something that every person needs to channel when they decide to run for office. Is we're not looking for somebody who's going to say something, to speak out for us, and as soon as things start getting heated, they start to back away. So go out there, be a loud voice, primary every single person, and the money will come, the support will come. It will come, but you have to be bold and fight for something, and it is possible. Absolutely.
One second there, Keith. I just want to mention, Lauren, you ran with no backers. I mean, ostensibly speaking, at the beginning of it, a political unknown. You won the Republican primary for a United States Senate race out of an entire state. I mean, that's incredible. You didn't have that backing, but you showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that it can be done. You did it, so we know that we have a template that can work there. She won the Republican nomination for United States Senator. That is not that is below only the presidency itself, Keith.
Well, the problem. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I started my campaign with $25 in my campaign account. I'm not some big baller money, I'm just not rolling in money. But, and I started with a couple volunteers, and we just went out there and we fought. And, it built into one of the most successful U.S. Senate campaigns in the state of Delaware that the Republican Party has ever had. We broke the Delaware record in most GOP Senate candidate votes ever, to the point that, there was something up. They were ballot harvesting from the prisons. They buried me alive in mail-in ballots. I just couldn't beat it. However, I was such a challenger.
One, yeah.
Anybody can be that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I'll tell you what you did. You also you embraced what they might have had on you with opposition research, and you embraced it and you owned it, and that played in your favor, Keith.
Well, money is still a problem, and another way to approach this would be to say that you need to listen very carefully to the radio and TV. If you hear an ad for a person in the primary, that's telling you that's the wrong person to vote for.
Stay tuned right there, everybody. We got Lauren Witzke for one more segment, and she'll be with us after the break. We're going to talk about what's going on with Arizona and get her insights on that after reading the thoughts of Paul Craig Roberts on that very issue, the former Secretary of the United States Treasury under President Ronald Reagan, and also another guest here on TPC. Stay tuned.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, we're back. One more segment with the great Lauren Witzke. I tell you, if she made waves for you last year, folks, continue to follow her now. She's doubling down, and I'll tell you, she's stronger than ever before, and we can't wait to see what the next chapter is for her. Keith, you got 30 seconds. I got to get to this thing with Maricopa County in Arizona. Go.
She's strong as Garrett Snuff, as we say here in the South. Let me ask you this. I loved hearing you say that ordinary citizens need not be intimidated about running for office. Trump said that he was a big supporter of Andrew Jackson's or admirer. He seems to have not realized that that's what the issue, the spoils system, was all about. He took the position that any American citizen of average intelligence had the intelligence necessary to fulfill any function in the federal government. And that's why Trump's first term was such a disappointment, because he kept going back to the same old swamp creatures to fulfill it, to staff his administration. We've got to get beyond that. And I love you keep preaching that gospel, because that's really the message we need to get out. We need to get people involved that think like ordinary Americans.
Lauren, 60 seconds response to that, and then I'm going to shift to Arizona. Go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it was really disappointing to see that Trump ran on draining the swamp, and then he got in it got into his position of power and surrounded himself with the swamp. And in the end, they betrayed him. They turned their backs on him. And in the end, it destroyed him. You know, it really did. You know, they had an opportunity to take back our country. And these people who had slithered their way in to the Trump administration betrayed the president of the United States. And that's what happens when you surround yourself with people that cannot be trusted. You know, so that is also something that we all need to take note of. You know, we don't owe these people anything. You know, we don't owe Wall Street anything. We don't owe the Sackler family anything. We don't owe people like Jared Kushner anything. You know,
or federal law enforcement agencies.
Yes. You know, we don't owe these people anything. You owe the American people to hold true to your promises that you made and the reason that we sent you to D.C. in the first place. And remember that as ordinary citizens, when you get there, do not get candidate brain, do not get politician brain. you know, we are the ones who put you there, so you would fight for us, and do not forget it. Because every institution in the world is going to be trying to influence you. Every institution in the world is going to be telling you that you have to do things this way in order to win, and that is a lie. You know, fight for us, fight for what you believe in. A great example is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's somebody who is just ordinary and happened to slip her way into the D.C. cesspool is what it is. And you can tell that they're constantly trying to vomit her back out. You know, every once in a while we get a good one in who isn't influenced by anything. And you can tell that war has been waged against her.
That's Jonathan Swift's famous comment. He said, if a true genius appears in the world, you'll know him by this sign. That all the dunces are in a confederacy against him.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Lord, it would have been you in Georgia. I'm telling you, it would have been you. Delaware, a little bit different. God bless you. I mean, I know it's your home state, but I'm telling you, in the South, you would have taken it. But now, let me shift gears here, if we can, to the situation in Arizona, because we haven't quite covered it yet. I was texting you earlier today, and you said you wanted to mention it, and I thought it was a great idea. So Paul Craig Roberts, I actually promoted him in the last segment. He was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under Reagan, but he was still a Reagan appointee nonetheless. Former Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal. And has made appearances on this program in the past. This is what he wrote about the Maricopa County, Arizona audit. Obviously, Paul Craig Roberts writes, there is massive electoral fraud. If not, why the extraordinary effort to block the audit? If there was no election fraud, the Democrats would welcome the audit to prove their case. What will the Republicans do, assuming the Department of Social Justice doesn't scare them off? They'll cover it up. Why? Here's the reason. Many Republicans will argue that it's best to make a deal with the Democrats, show them the evidence, and tell them that it won't be revealed if the Democrats will stop blocking electoral reforms such as voter ID and removing dead people and out-of-state people from voting rolls. Republicans will argue that is the best outcome. It will preserve America's reputation and prevent another stolen election. Do you believe that, Lauren? And what is your take on what's happening in Arizona and what may come from it?
Right. So they never expected a judge to approve this audit. You know, they have been blocked everywhere in the country. Even the Supreme Court refused to hear the case about the election fraud. But this judge, one random judge in Arizona, approved it. So what they're doing, the media, the war that they're going to wage now is that the audit is a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's illegitimate because we have absolutely no doubt that there will be election fraud found, voter fraud. Substantial voter fraud to the point that will prove that Joe Biden lost. So what the media is doing now, you can watch Rachel Maddow, you see CNN, all the different articles that are coming out. A war has been waged to illegitimize the audit itself. They're trying to cause chaos. The good thing is the Maricopa County Board of Elections, whoever's running the audit, they decided to shut their mouths because that's what they do. They try to cause chaos. They try to get them to backtrack on some things they said to just try and prove that this audit is illegitimate and it's not done by real auditors. It's not really secure. No, this is the most legitimate audit ever done in U.S. history. It's the most thorough done, and it was approved by a judge. You know, this you cannot say it's illegitimate because it's real, and the results of it are going to be real. But what they do have is control of the media. They have control of every institution to tell you that it's a lie. You know, so we're going to look at mass social media bans again when the results come out. We're going to look at every headline in the news, you know, saying it's a QAnon conspiracy theory. But it's really not. You know, it's legitimate. It was approved by a judge and they hired real people. And, you know, nobody has an agenda here. We just want to know what happened. The media has done a really good job of trying to make us feel like we're in a minority. But I talk to ordinary people every single day, and they know that something very wrong happened in 2020. And we as American citizens have a right to know. We have a right to know what they did to us so we can get angry and we can fix it. You know, I'm really curious what's going to happen when other states start auditing and they start flipping back to Trump. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's, you know, the American people deserve to know, you know, and they will know. And I just wanted to make sure that your viewers know that this is not a conspiracy theory. This is legitimate. Like, this is real. And the results that we find and they find in Maricopa County are the real results. You know, we are going to, and it's, I've been told that there has been substantial fraud that has been found. Just, exponential. Like, what they have done is so criminal to the American people.
I can't wait to see what the actual results will be, what the findings will be. I mean, I agree with you. I believe, as you do. We'll see what they actually report, what makes it to the official paperwork. But, Lauren, with only seconds remaining, what I know you've been censored and deplatformed from multiple places, but where can people continue to follow you? What's next for you? 30 seconds, take it away. We can't wait till the next appearance already.
All right, awesome. Okay, so you can find me on Gab. I'm canceled on Twitter for calling out the pedophile people. So it's Gab at Lauren Whiskey DE. Please give me a follow. Also, I am the spokeswoman for Hold the Line Pack. If you'd like to support my work, you can go to www.holdthelinepack.com and see updates on everything we're working on. We just fixed Georgia's elections, and we are all eyes on Maricopa County right now. So www.holdthelinepack.com. Please go on and support our fight and my fight. I won't stop fighting for you. Guys, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you.
HoldTheLinePack.com, folks. Be sure to support it. I know we will. Lauren, it's entirely our pleasure. We look forward to your third appearance already, your big hit with our audience. And thank you for coming on tonight, even on short notice. And you really knocked it out of the park, Keith.
Damn the torpedoes, so full much. Speed ahead, Lauren.
Thank you right. So much. Absolutely. You know it.
Talk to you again soon, my friend. Good night and Godspeed. Bye. We'll be back with Jack Ryan to wrap up the program tonight, our own correspondent. What a great show tonight. Stay tuned, everybody.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United Nations Security Council called on Israel and Hamas to fully adhere to a ceasefire agreed upon earlier this week. The Saturday statement from the council also urged that humanitarian aid should be sent to the Palestinian civilian population in Gaza. It was the council's first public statement on the conflict that saw 11 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip. The United Nations announced Friday that it was releasing $22.5 million in humanitarian aid to Gaza. And the Biden administration announced Saturday that it would extend temporary protected status for the next 18 months for Haiti. The move will allow Haitians to remain in the United States and obtain a work permit. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas pointed to security concerns, social unrest, human rights abuses, and a lack of basic resources as reasons for issuing the redesignation. Haiti was initially designated for TPS in 2010 following a massive earthquake on the island. This is USA Radio News.
Friends, Mike Lindell is a great supporter of conservative radio, but most of all, he's a man who has invented a great USA product that will help you get a great night's sleep. For over 3 years, I've told you how the MyPillow Premium Pillow has changed my life. I get the best sleep of my life. But more importantly, the pillows don't go flat. You can wash them and dry them as many times as you want. They maintain their shape, and they are made in the USA. Here's the best deal you'll ever get on a MyPillow Premium Pillow. $29.98 for a standard or queen size pillow. King size only $5 more. You're saving $40. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. You can save up to 60% on any MyPillow product when you use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special.
The White House has revised its proposed infrastructure package, cutting down the bill's cost to $1.7 trillion. But Republicans say the cost is still too high, even with a $600 billion cut. The president's proposal still contains billions in spending for elder care, electric vehicle subsidies, and workforce training. Those are all programs that are non-starters for Congressman Carlos Jimenez. The Florida Republican tells Fox News that while there are many issues the two sides can come together on, there is not bipartisan support for many aspects in the president's bill.
We want to work with the White House. We believe that there is a need for infrastructure in the United States, traditional forms of infrastructure and things that may not be traditional, you know, like broadband. And also, how do we incentivize American companies to come back to the United States and reconstitute our supply chains here away from China and some other countries. Those are things that I think that we can support. You know, they're at $1.7 trillion. The senators are about $600 billion. I guess we'll try to work somewhere towards the middle.
This is USA Radio News.
Is, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, I like Texas girls, that's for sure, but where do we hang our hat, Keith?
In Tennessee, in George Strait, who's,
he's got the hat, that looks like you right there in that hat, that old picture of George Strait. If you wore a hat, that'd look like
you. If it's me, I'd be all hat and no cattle.
Well, hey, you know Jack Ryan's got to be right around the corner if we're already having laughs, but I'll tell you, it's a great show. Keith, tell me one other show in the country that would have featured one after two after 3 hours, Sam Dixon, Brad Griffin, Lauren Witzke.
And cherry on top will be Jack Ryan.
Well, Jack's on our staff, so you can't really count him as a guest.
But he's like on the Major League Baseball team. He's a closer that comes
That's
in.
That's right. That's why we have him. We like to, after a hard night's work, we like to have Jack on. Kick back. It's like kicking back
And he's going to be throwing some spitballs tonight.
No. It's like kicking back with a nice stogie and a little bit of brandy. And that's Jack, and that's how we close out a show. What a show tonight. Sam, Brad, Lauren, Jack, to you. All my exes live in Texas. What are you doing tonight, buddy, up in Chicago?
I'm in Chicago. I live outside of Chicago, but I still own property in the city. Chicago, the weather they flipped a switch from winter to summer. It was 40 degrees, wet and raw and things, and then 90 degrees, and it's summer, and then it's got all the summer good things and obviously lots of bad things about Chicago. But I'm here. I'm left behind in Chicago, where we have the worst political leaders, crime or things, lesbian, homosexual mayors and gangbanger killers and robbers and all these things. But I'm following Lauren Witzker. What an intelligent, great woman and a beautiful, stunningly great looking woman.
I tell you, Jack,
that wouldn't escape your attention.
No, Jack, don't stop there and don't let off. This is one of the nights we regret being radio instead of television. Tell us more about it.
And that's one thing I always try to say is we have to do public relations and we have to try to use our strengths, and get over our weaknesses. One of our weaknesses is that we're not so great in the arts or dancing, and that's why I'm into this. And so that song, the George Strait, is a great song for the Texas two-step, which is not really a complicated
step. Yeah, you've got Saturday Night Fever, I think.
Yeah, you're not jumping around. Right. Yeah, John Travolta doing these things or the tango and stuff. If our people take some lessons, our listeners can do Texas two-step, so that's one of the reasons why I recommended it. But we might as well use the fact that our women are just, some of them are just gorgeous, stunningly beautiful, and Lauren Witzke, wow, she's just great. Then the opposition is Donna Shalala.
and the secret to getting them is dancing, right?
Jack could dance. I'll tell you what. Listen. Jack is a ballroom dancer. He's been taking classes.
Ballroom or ballroom?
No, listen. or a bar hall or a bar, But listen. But I'll tell you this, Jack. We had those 2 months of special series where we had the March Around the World in March. We had the Confederate History Month series. Jack was honing his skills on dancing, and that's what we need to sweep these ladies off their feet. But I'll tell you this, and Jack is 100% spot on about that. Conservative women look so much better than these woke leftists. It's hard to even call them human being. It's hard to even call them human, much less women. But, compare Lauren Witzke to a... you know, Ilhan Omar or
Sinead O'Connor or something.
Bruce Jenner.
Oh yeah. By the way, did you see that Donald Trump Jr. thinks that Caitlyn Jenner is hot?
You keep calling him Caitlyn, Keith. I gotta talk to you about that. I mean, Well, let me tell you. Hang on a second. Just hang on a second, Jack. Pardon the interruption. Let me go back to this. So it was Bruce Jenner and whoever that guy was that Joe Biden had pointed to the Ministry of Health or whatever. But the thing is, they're both men wearing dresses. That's all it is. Donald Trump Jr. said, it seems to hold true that conservative girls are just better looking. I have to picture Bruce Jenner on one end and this whoever it is on the other end. I can't even remember his name.
What a choice.
No, I'm just saying, they're both men wearing dresses. That's the thing. So, look, we need real women like Lauren. We need manly right. men. And we need people who can dance and sweep them off their feet. That's where you come in, Jack.
Right. Well, I think there's – I might sound sexist or something like that, but there's not a lot of things that I really like to do with women. I mean, and one of the things I like to do is partner dance. You know, and I don't like to go shopping with them. And it's nice if you have some women like Lauren or Phyllis Schlafly that have good political opinions or Ann Coulter. But to be, you know, just to be really honest, I really don't want to hear the their women. I'd rather dance with them and romance with them and then have families and things like that. And like Ann Coulter,
well, you're losing ground from all that ground you had gained by dancing.
No. He's going to dance so he can get to where he wants to get with them.
Yeah, they are. All right. Well, can we segue into the topic of my one? I'm not just.
I guess we should. We should put away childish things. Yeah. It's like George Bush said. What did George W. Bush say?
He said intelligence is overrated.
No. He said when I was a child, I engaged in childish things.
Yeah, he's this dumbass. He's like, is it only me, but you agree that like a young George Bush looks and acts exactly like Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies? I mean, he's like Uncle Jed was always trying to get Jethro a job, and it was the same thing with George Bush Sr., like, George Bush Jr. never could get a job. He was a male cheerleader at Yale. And so they got him a job as governor of Texas and president of the United States. How pathetic is that? That's horrible.
Well, you know, the 2000 election, how did we pick such dumb people? Al Gore was even dumber than George W. Bush. He made a 1041 on the SAT, and George W. Bush made a 1046. What a choice.
Well, they're just dumbasses. It's embarrassing how incredibly bad it is. All right.
All right, Jack, we got about a minute or two left this segment, then we got the next segment with you, obviously. So set up the table. Set the table.
Okay, let me just set it up.
So what the topic's going
to
be?
Time to go into the deep insights I have in this minute and a half. So my topic tonight is don't write off the liberals. Don't follow bad conservatives and be aware of the big lies. So that's my topic tonight, and it has a lot to do with this greater Idaho the West Virginia and things like that. So there are issues there, and I want to introduce the idea like not to just simply follow conservative right wing and dismiss all liberals. So that's the topic of it tonight. I wish I had like 2 hours to talk about this subject, but it's got to be after the break.
Well, I mean, listen, there's nothing stopping you now. We still got about 2 minutes. You want to give it a little bit more of a teaser?
Okay.
I tell you, Keith's flustered me so much tonight with Tammy and the Bachelor, you know, once again, and
he's got me going with Mac the Knife and tells me it's rock and roll. It's swinging.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's not rock. Yeah, I'll give you some teaser. Okay, I've got a homework assignment for our listeners, and it's not a hard one. I want every one of our listeners to read American Renaissance. Don't Write Off the Liberals. It's not a 300-page book. It's like a page and a half, but it discusses issues that are good for us that are not conservative, they're not right wing, that's something there and something that we can do. So it's American Renaissance, AMRAN, don't write off the liberals. So that's going to be my theme coming in after this break, if we can get off the comedy.
When you come on, Jack, listen, it's time to kick back. I take off my shoes. I kick back here in the studio. I'm actually reclining now in my seat
like
at the desk.
Jethro, he's going to pee off the back porch.
Right.
Well, you know, listen, after 2.5 hours, you're ready for a break. You're ready for a little bit
that
of levity.
Now,
listen, still important topics, you know, no doubt.
Right.
A little bit
right.
of comedy infused, a little bit of
little comedy.
Levity. And you got to have some, Keith. You're going
to
die.
We like to be a little more
That's
fun
right.
than the Taliban, you know? I don't think.
Hey, we're holding.
Laura Whitaker's show her face or beautiful hair in public. You know, they'd make her wear a burqa. You know, why can't
we're holding it together better than the Mississippi Bridge? I can tell you that. Now, give me 30 seconds on what happened to the Mississippi Bridge. Give me quick.
Cheap Chinese steel is what happened to the Mississippi River.
David Duke brought it up last week, and we didn't get a chance to. We were going to talk about it tonight, but he stole our thunder. But the bridge that was built in
the late 70s,
when Hernando de Soto built it, is still there.
Well, the ones that were built around 1900 are still sound as a dollar.
What about Hernando de Soto? You know, one thing about Hernando de Soto you may not know, that so it was the Hernando de Soto Bridge. They'll rename that as soon as they figure out who he is. But he actually accompanied Pizarro on his conquest of the Incas. Hernando de Soto did. Did you know that? Did you know that he actually accompanied Pizarro and helped him vanquish the Incas? And then he was the Spanish conquistador who traversed all the way into the interior Mid-South, all the way up to the Mississippi River. And that's why DeSoto County, Mississippi is named after him, and the Hernando de Soto Bridge spanning the Mississippi River.
And Hernando is the county seat of DeSoto County.
Hero or villain?
Hero. He opened his eyes.
Why did you even pause? Hero, undoubtedly. Hero.
He didn't discover any gold, so he wasn't really in good grace.
Look. I'm waiting for you to find we'll be right back. What the hell?
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
April love is all the seven wonders. One little kiss can tell you this is true. Sometimes an April day will suddenly bring showers, rain to grow the flowers for her first bouquet.
I'm looking at the recommended songs here. Now, Keith wanted us to play April Love here by Pat Boone, Southern Baptist from Tennessee. He is, and so I get that.
From
but
Nashville.
I see here on the sidebar, Dusty Springfield's Only Want to Be With You. Now, that's one we can win with, Keith.
Boone harks back to the halcyon, older, better days of the 50s. Really, the pre-rock and roll 50s, even though that was, I think, from 57. But that is a great song, and it was the movie theme for a great movie.
But tell me this one
isn't
better.
She's a tart.
Can I just give my comment about that?
All right. Well, we normally let our hair down, not literally in my case, but
no hair to let down, James.
But anyway, the last two segments, I look forward the whole show to getting the last couple of segments with Jack, so we can just relax and have a good time.
Well, can Jack, I share my comment about Pat Boone with the audience?
Yeah. Well, listen, work has to intrude. So, unfortunately, No. In all seriousness, take it away. Your comment on Pat Boone.
I'd rather be tortured by Torquemada than have to listen to the Pat Boone.
You love Nashville. Look,
what about Moody River?
No, I don't like that. That's a little too saccharine for me. But look, Pat Boone was good. That was a great movie with Shirley Jones. You need to watch it. April Love.
All right. Anyway, we got to turn it over to Jack. This is Jack's time. This ain't Pat Boone's time.
Yeah.
All right. I think I saw Pat Boone doing like the raccoon scooter that takes you up the stairs if you're too feeble to do it. A Fox News commercial. Was that Pat Boone?
He's like Joe Namath. He'll shill for anything now.
Okay. All right. Enough. No more talking out of you, Keith. Jack, take it away.
Well, that sort of leads me into my theme of the one. I wish we had more time for it. Which is the theme is. Don't write off the liberals and just don't go along to get along with conservative right-wing American stuff, whether it's Pat Boone or Cliven Bundy or a senile Ronald Reagan. And this was my homework assignment, don't write off the liberals from American Renaissance. So right now we've got this deal. People, it's divided. And one of the greatest, biggest lies of my entire life has been the idea that the United States of America is divided between two groups, liberals and conservatives. And it's like liberals say, oh, the conservatives are rich, they're selfish, they don't care about black people or poor people.
And they're white.
And the conservatives say, oh, Rush Limbaugh, it's these stupid liberals, they want to let all the criminals go and they don't want to do free enterprise and they don't support the troops, they're not patriotic. But that is just basically that's basically a lie. Most of our problems in our country are racial, cultural, ethnic, sexual problems. It's not liberals and conservatives. Right now, the war in Gaza, Israel, Palestine, is not between liberals and conservatives. It's between Arabs and Israelis. And so this is a big thing that we always fall into, and that our enemy, particularly this one enemy that we're not allowed to mention, starts with J, ends with W, and it kind of rhymes with Jew. They put up a fake conservative deal that they wave the flag and say, we got to go bomb Iraq. We got to go bomb Syria. They're there and support the flags, and they can bring out some of these, one of their prostitutes, folk pop guys like Ted Nugent or Hank Williams Jr., and they'll crank out some propaganda song. So let's bomb Iraq. Let's kick their ass. Let's go. And then I can't believe our people would believe the propaganda of these neoconservative David Frum speechwriters saying we have to invade Iraq because he's part of an axis of evil. And Saddam Hussein is Hitler, and we got to fight for freedom and democracy. But so many of our people will always back these wars and these things like that. So these fake conservatives. So right now, I'm involved in this.
George Strait did.
Yeah, you know they just do that one. So right now, I'm involved in this issue that I'm trying to protect the wolves of Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and it's a big effort. It's done mostly by ranchers, just to slaughter 90% of the gray wolves in there. And wolves are sacred not only to Native Americans, but they were sacred to the Romans, Romulus and Remus. They were sacred to our German and Scandinavian kinsmen, the god Votan had wolves. The wolves are beautiful animals, and they're great. And why do we want to slaughter and kill all these people? Because these small town rural people don't like liberals. They don't like Hollywood ones. And so they say, oh, if you guys are for environmentalism, well, let's just kill all the wolves. So my view tonight is like, no, let's not kill all the wolves. Let's protect these beautiful animals, and let's protect our own people. Let's do ranching and farming in an environmentally positive way, and let's stay out. And so many of these ranchers and stuff are horrible on immigration. They just want cheap labor. So that's sort of my theme tonight is don't write off the liberals, and don't go along to get along with bad right-wing conservative things that are just not good for our people.
Well, if we do that, Jack, is the left going to give us any concessions on Black Lives Matter?
Well, I mean, but that
probably not.
You know, but they're in, like, Portland, Oregon has been given over to Black Lives Matter, Antifa, bad, crappy, communist stuff. And so the other people are saying, well, screw them. We want to be with Idaho rural people. And I understand that there's good things to do that. But that doesn't mean that we should slaughter the beautiful wolves or the African lion or the elephants. We don't want to give up on and anti-cruelty to animals is always a good issue for us. It always works very well because European high people care about animals. Other people just don't. Bridget Bardot became a folk hero, one of the most beautiful women of all time, but she opposed the Muslim slaughter of animals and things like that. So environmentalism in a positive way, it always works for us, and we have to be stupid.
Well, look. Jack, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, listen, I mean, this is something that's become a bit of an absurdity that only leftists are concerned about the environment.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we want to have an environment that's sustainable, that's healthy and clean for our kids to live with. And it's not white people. And listen, I mean, you can walk across the Ganges River in India off on top of, you know, tons of plastic, discarded plastic. I mean, it's the third world. It's the non-whites.
Well, one
that
of the founders the ones of the Sierra are the abusers, Club.
Abusers of the environment. I mean, this isn't an issue that is incompatible with rightism.
You need to tell them, too, that one of the founders of the Sierra Club was Madison Grant of the passing
Grant.
Of the Great White Race.
Absolutely. Who started the national parks? The people like Teddy Roosevelt and people like that. And then our efforts was there. The Sierra Club was doing good stuff, but they got bought off by one of these J financiers who gave them a couple $100 million and said, okay, I'm giving this money, but you can't talk about immigration anymore because that's racist. And it's like, saying we don't want to accept 100 million more people from Pakistan and India or Central America, it's racist. But so what? Yes, it is. We want a clean environment. We want to protect animals and the environment. And this is an issue that works so well for us. Liberals that won't give us there, when they find out some guy like Michael Vick is doing dog fighting, killing, they'll switch over. So we need to come onto the side about being pro animals, environmentalists and stuff. And we should not, these ranchers in Idaho are screwing us up. I think they're going to blow it. So I'm working very hard on this issue. And I hope others that were listening right now will just say, yeah, ranchers can do their work and things like that, but we don't want to kill and slaughter wolves in the most cruel and inhumane ways with traps and shooting them from helicopters. So I think this is a good issue, and I think that this is one that we need to get around. So we shouldn't write off the liberals, and you shouldn't just go along to get along with business, Tyson Foods, Cargill. We did protests against Tyson Foods in Tennessee for flooding Central Tennessee with Somalian low-wage workers. So don't just give along to the agribusinesses and people like that. Obviously, I've sent too much in a very small area, but that was my theme tonight.
Thank you very much, Jack, for those inspiring words.
Well, I looked at Keith. Keith's always got something to say. I looked at him. He wasn't ready. I mean, when I look at him, that's the cue. We talk about this. We've talked about this in the past. Environmentalism
right.
shouldn't be a leftist issue. White people who have pro-white tendencies for lack of a better term, right-wing tendencies, that doesn't mean we want to rape and destroy the environment. That
Long
is not,
live Madison Grant.
The leftists should not have a monopoly on environmentalism. But that doesn't mean that we buy into the whole climate change narrative and all this kookiness, Green New Deal nonsense.
Yeah.
I want you to show up at a Sierra Club meeting and point out to them who Madison Grant was and that he was one of the founders. They'll probably half of the room there will commit suicide if you do that.
Well, I'm always willing to show up and to all these meetings. I'm doing that all the time. So, but right now I'm actually getting with these wolf protection people, mostly out of Wisconsin, and they're regular good white European people. They're fair to other ones, and these wolves are sacred to Native American Indians, but they're also sacred to classical Romans and Scandinavians and Germans like that. And if you embrace positive and not crazy environmentalism, people can drive cars and things like that. If you embrace positive environmentalism and protection of animals, anti-cruelty to animals, you're going to be successful. It's the right thing to do, and that's what I'm doing.
All right, Jack Ron, everybody. He'll be back next week for our incredible roster of guests tonight. Sam Dixon, Brad Griffin, and Lauren Witzke. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. And for Bobby Darin and all of the other...
Pat Boone.
We'll see you next week, everybody. Good night. God bless and Godspeed.